Canes Insight, what's going on? We're back again for another edition of the Canes Insight podcast presented by Canes, where I'm your host, managing editor of Canes Insight, Stefan Adams. And as always, you know we have a great show for you today. Manny Diaz and his 5-1 Hurricanes coming off that bye week, looking to end his bye week blues since taking over at Miami against NC State this week. The pod took a week off last week, so we have a lot to catch up on. We'll break down the news coming out of Miami's bye week, what you can expect from NC State on Friday night, and where this season could head now that the Canes are 5-1. And entering that back half of the schedule. We got D Money on the line ready to come on and talk it all out right after we talk to our friends over at Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. Check out their 20, 40, 60 sale going on in-store and online where you can save 20, 40, or 60% off on select items, or you can check out the daily deals tab at caneswear.com where they have tons of great items ranging from hats, jackets, t-shirts, shorts, pants, jerseys, and much more on sale depending on the day. So go ahead and check out Caneswear. The cold weather season's coming up, but that doesn't mean you have to stop racking your Canes gear. And of course, Caneswear has you covered with long sleeve tees, jackets, beanies, gloves, sweatpants, and much more. All you have to do is check them out off University Drive in the Arrowhead Shopping Center in Davie or on caneswear.com. Orders online over $99 ship for free. Plus, you can get all your local South Florida sports teams gear at Caneswear as well. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain over at Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. How do you, Caneswear? And we are back on the Canes Insight podcast. Coming off a bye week last week, Hurricanes still 5-1. If you guys took a little break, took a little nap this past week, but we're back in action doing our thing. Canes got an early game this week, Friday night instead of Saturday, playing against the NC State Wolfpack. Going to be a little interesting game. NC State was ranked in their prior game, and they got blown out versus UNC. So we'll talk all that out. Talk about me and D Money's thoughts were coming out of the bye. And what we can look forward to looking at NC State. So without further ado, let's bring him on. D Money, what's going on, my man?
Doing all right. Just, you know, super tired, obviously. This is the day after the election, so some late night TV and trying to catch up, drink my Red Bull and get ready for this weekend. We got football all weekend. I love these Friday games. Focus only on the Canes and enjoy and let it all out. So excited to be back off the bye.
Yeah, you can. We don't know who the president's going to be at this point. It's still Wednesday night. But you can take a break from all that election stuff and join us over at Canes Insight and talk some football. So we're glad to have you on, D Money, and let's just get right into it. So obviously coming out of the bye, Miami's had their documented struggles with Manny Diaz. I believe 0-4 at this point with Manny at the helm. Been a little bit of a struggle for the Hurricanes in keeping that focus and keeping that same intensity when they have that off coming off that off week. So that's just kind of one of the factors that we're looking at right now when it comes to NC State. And the Hurricanes really looking up to get off that schneid.
De'Ara King, that's really the difference. You know, Jaren Williams was partying before the FIU game last year. He threw three picks against Virginia Tech off that other bye. So De'Ara King, is the one that's going to really, to me, dictate the focus of the team, both from a leadership standpoint, most importantly, as an example. I think if he comes out firing against a susceptible defense, that'll be a sign to the rest of the team that, you know, this, let's get locked in, let's ride our guy. And I think that's really going to be the biggest difference coming off bye, is that quarterback. You know, Manny, they asked him about bye week woes, and he mentioned, well, the problem with bye weeks was our quarterback was throwing a lot of picks, and that's true. Not all true. There were other issues, but I think that's a big first step, is King cleaning that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the other big, you know, issues we've been talking about moving in that bye week, you know, coming off that UVA win, it was a win, of course, and you know, but Miami did not cover the spread, and it was a little bit of a struggle at times. It was good to go into that bye week, look at the tape and see what they could improve coming off that. You know, one of the areas they really kind of focused on that week before Virginia was that wide receiver group. Completely opened that depth chart. Really saw Mike Harley took advantage of that. It was all the same starters. Mike Harley really emerged. 10 catches, 170 yards, the touchdown. Really making plays all over the field. And also guys like Mark Pope and D. Wiggins also made a couple of big catches down the field as well. All over on the sideline. Good concentration, getting the hands on the ball and getting the feet in bounds.
So that was a little encouraging on that front. And, you know, a big part of what they've been trying to do is keep that momentum going with the wide receiver group heading into NC State. NC State's kind of been susceptible to that big pass game. And that's something that happened against their last game against North Carolina, where they gave up nearly 600 yards, 578 total yards of offense to UNC. Most of that actually came after UNC opened up that ground game with the pass. Once they established that pass, UNC was able to open up the ground game, pile up 326 rushing yards on the ground. So, you know, that's kind of that blueprint that Miami wants to do to beat NC State. And they're just going to have those wide receivers making plays on the outside to open up that run game. And it's something they've been struggling with on the ground the past few games. We've had those issues. We've seen some issues with Cam Harris. You saw him tweeting out after that UVA game. He kind of didn't really get many touches in the second half, only one touch in the second half. He was a little frustrated with that. We saw Don Chaney, Jalen Knight, and even Robert Burns getting touches late in that second half against Virginia to close out the game. So it's a little bit interesting to see that. And, you know, maybe a situation with Miami trying to get the hot hand going where they're just going to roll with whoever's hot in the moment. But it's definitely something they've been working on in the bye, and they want to improve on going forward into UNC, that run game.
Agree with all that. It's to me, it's two things. So last game against Virginia, the goal was get those receivers going, get that outside threat going, the passing game. You saw what Clemson did, what Pittsburgh did as far as not respecting that game enough. The Virginia game was a big step forward in terms of opening that up, particularly with Harley. So that was a step forward. Here against North Carolina State, you need to keep that progress with the receiving group. They need to be able to threaten and make plays and earn the respect of NC State. But you also look to this game to get the running game going, because North Carolina State, very vulnerable on defense in general, but particularly against the run. And Miami's running game's been stuck in the mud. Cam Harris in particular, but really the whole running game has struggled, starting with the offensive line. So here against North Carolina State, you have a smaller front seven. They run a 3-3-5. North Carolina, you watched the game last week, and North Carolina did everything they wanted to do against NC State in terms of just running the football. They just completely dominated. And like you mentioned, they probably set it up with the pass. They have the best receivers in the conference, does North Carolina, and the best pair of backs, in my opinion. So those two guys together, those two units together, really stressed out North Carolina State. North Carolina State had to allocate some of that 3-3-5 to taking away that deep passing game, and that left them very vulnerable up front. They're not that big. You know, they have a three-man front, but it's a small three-man front. They really don't have the size and the overall talent that they've had on defensive line in the last 2 years. They produced a lot of NFL players on D-line at North Carolina State in recent years. Those guys aren't on the team right now. They're reasonably quick. They can get sacks, but from a body type standpoint, I think North Carolina State's really, really down in that respect. So if Miami can block the right guys, you know, be in rhythm with that running game, play with confidence, play with poise, I think from a physical standpoint, this is going to be a much more favorable matchup for Miami's offensive line that they've had in the last four games. Just from a size standpoint, even though Miami does not have a huge offensive line, they will have an advantage in this particular game. So if they can block the right guys, play efficiently, had their technique on point, just be precise and detail oriented, I think this offense can run the ball and get that running game going against North Carolina State. And you're also going to have that deep passing game to set that up. And if you do that, we saw with North Carolina, I mean, you could put up huge, huge numbers against this defense. So it's the type of team you want to play when you're struggling in the running game, but you got to go out and do it. So that to me is the number one story, along with continuing to keep that passing game momentum.
Yeah, and it's not always about the skill guys, what they are or aren't doing. Like you mentioned, it's that offensive line has really struggled these past few games. I know, and just going back to the Cam thing, I mean, I know there's been talk about wanting to have him benched and turn it over to maybe one of the freshmen. And, you know, that's all well and good, but there's only so much you can really do when there's not a lot of lanes to open up. And, you know, Cam has had his struggles. I believe it's like 30-something yards in the past three games combined. So he has had his struggles. But they're going to try to get him going, and that's certainly the game plan going into NC State. But like you mentioned, it's going to be all about the offensive line, how much they can open up front, how much push they can get. We've talked about it so many times on the pod, but just to reference the last game against UVA, they gave up, had another rough game, gave up 5 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss, a lot of penetration to the backfield, and could have been a lot more, you know, without that escapability of Derek King. Now in the past 3 games, you know, dating back to Clemson, Miami's now given up 14 sacks and 37 tackles for loss, which is an average of 4.6 sacks per game and 12.3 tackles for loss per game, which would put Miami in like 98th out of 101 in those categories about. So that's just that you just can't have that. There's just not much you can do as a running back, as an offensive coordinator, if that unit is that bad. And, you know, we really were hoping that improvement we saw those first 3 weeks from Miami was kind of be more of the norm. We maybe not as good as that, but, you know, we were just hoping they wouldn't completely slide back to where they are right now, you know, where they were at the end of last season. The kind of hope was Miami ran up against Clemson and Pitt, and those are two known of the best front sevens in the country. Virginia had a little bit more of an average front seven. They were good. They had some solid players, but it wasn't one of those ferocious front sevens like a Clemson or a Pitt. So it was a little bit concerning to see Miami struggle against UVA. And it's going to be probably the key of the game. If Miami isn't able to get that run going, how else are they going to create offense throughout the air? And again, the receiver is going to have to step up. And Derek King going to have to make a lot of plays with his legs again. Probably fair to expect, you know, better play than we see these past 3 weeks on the past 3 games on the OL. And it's going to be all about if the Miami can get that going up front.
Yeah, I think, again, running game. In terms of the passing game, I don't think that they've been as bad as the numbers would indicate, quite frankly. I think we've seen a lot of coverage sacks, decision-making sacks on Derek King. You've had a couple, you know, plays on the running backs and pass protection. You've had some nice pockets that have led to big plays, particularly in the Virginia Tech game, in the Virginia game. So I am comfortable with the improvement being made on the offensive line from a pass blocking standpoint. I think they are legitimately improved there. Zion Nelson really playing good football and looks like the answer at left tackle going forward. You also played 2 NFL defensive ends at Clemson, 2 NFL defensive ends at Pittsburgh, both of those guys we drafted this year, and then Charles Snowden at Virginia, who will be NFL. So you've had some good competition, and you've held up, you know, not great, but I don't think the pass blocking has been that bad. It's been improved. Run blocking has been absolutely abysmal and a major step back, and that's to me what this game is about. And really what I think is going to be interesting, I expect to see the same offensive line, which is Zion, Ja'Kai Clark, Corey Gaynor, Scaife, Jared Williams, but you know, someone struggles. Will we see some of these other guys? Will we see Jalen Rivers? Will we see John Campbell? That to me is interesting. Who might we see if somebody struggles? Like, for example, the lone Scaife struggled last game. Could we see someone get pulled if they don't play to the level that they need to be in this game? Or could we just see a normal rotation where, you know, they say, okay, Jalen Rivers, you're getting the third series, and we'll go from there. That to me is something to watch. I don't have any information on that, inside info, but you know, that is something to watch. You also, and this may be a question you're going to ask, might as well get to it, the COVID stuff, you know, rumors flying about COVID issues on the team. As of Wednesday night, which is when we're recording this, I heard practice has gone off, you know, pretty much normal. You're looking at a similar lineup to what you saw against Virginia, some young players out, but generally your same starters. I don't know if that's going to hold. This thing is fluid. You have multiple tests before the game. So I don't know. It could change, but as of now, I think you should expect to see a roster similar to Virginia. But again, if someone gets sick on the O-line or gets infected on the O-line, will we see a Rivers or whoever? So, you know, that's a subplot to me, is are we going to see the same offensive line? And certainly watching closely how they perform in the running game.
Yeah, and that's a good point with, you know, coming out of the bye, that was really a big focus, and a lot what the coaches were talking about in that bye week was getting those young players a little bit more developed. That was a big focus of this off week, developing, you know, young players, getting them more ready for the second half of the season, seeing what they can get out of these guys that are slowly getting their feet under them at the college level, slowly getting more and more reps on practice and getting a little bit more comfortable and seeing if that talent is really able to translate at this point in the season. You know, who's ready to step up? Who are the young guys can come right in and make an impact. It's going to be it's going to be interesting to see. And this would be a prime week coming off that bye to really make your move on that depth chart. Again, I want to talk a little bit more about NC State too, with their quarterback situation. Again, I mean, Blake Baker is going to be a little in an interesting situation with it's going to be his third straight game where he is not going to be able to really 100% prepare for a starting quarterback. Devin Leary, NC State starting quarterback, is going to be out with a broken leg. So it's going to be either Bailey Hockman, who started last game against UNC, or true freshman Ben Finley, who relieved Hockman against UNC in the second half and played out that second half after Hockman struggled a little bit. So it's going to be like a game time decision between those two guys. And this has actually been a passing game that's been pretty productive with Leary, and Hockman's had some good moments as well. So, that's really been their bread and butter of their entire team. Actually, when you look at the numbers, their passing game, 31st in the country, that's their best number, and 261 yards per game. If they aren't able to do well in the passing game and get that quarterback that gets comfortable in the pocket and gets those receivers going, it could spell trouble for the rest of their offense throughout the day. And I'm sure that's something Blake Baker is really looking to key in on as he prepares his game plan going into Friday.
Yeah, and I think Hockman's going to get the most opportunities, at least early on. We don't know if that's going to stay throughout the game. If he's off to a tough start, will they go to the younger player? To me, Hockman, not a very accurate passer, mistake prone, more interceptions than touchdowns this year, a completion percentage below 60%. He has some decent receivers, a decent running backs. So they have a pretty good offense. It's not the weakness of their team, the offense. But I think you lose a lot when you go to Hockman. And from a Miami standpoint, they've been lagging behind in turnovers. They've been lagging behind in sacks from how they usually play. They've been lagging behind in tackles for loss. I think this is a very good opportunity to stack those numbers. North Carolina State has a pretty good offensive line, so it's not like it's going to be FSU where you just is jailbreak every time. But I don't expect them to go with the quick game to the degree that some of the other teams did. I think they're sackable, and this would be a game to really get after it and be disruptive, because Miami's defense, it's been disruptive, but not disruptive to the degree it's been in the past. And I think with the talent that they have on the defensive line and what they're good at on defensive line, which is Quincy Roche, one of the most disruptive players in the country, Jalen Phillips with his athleticism, Nesta the way he likes to play, Jared Harrison Hunt, get that going back again, where those guys are eating, putting up numbers and causing turnovers. That's what I'd love to see in this game, just to get it back coming off the bye. That's been missing a little bit from this defense.
Yeah, because, scoring defense-wise, they only gave up 14 points against Virginia last game. 26, they're minus 26 in the country, 22.2 points per game given up on defense. And that's really the name of the game, is keeping the team out of the end zone. And they've done a pretty good job of that. But, of course, they've also left a lot of big plays on the table, like you mentioned, the tackles for loss and sacks. Also, not a lot of, impact turnovers, not a lot of turnover chain sightings we've seen this year. And especially last game against UVA, they only had the one at the very end of the game, which was the desperation last play laterals. They picked up that fumble. So really, they kind of struggled making those big impact plays. This has got to be that week that they turn that around and really start making some big plays on the defense. Also, wanted to get your kind of take on the running back situation with Cam and, who could see more carries going into this week. Do you see it again shaping up to more of a hot hand situation, more of an even split? Or do you see maybe Miami go with one guy and getting the majority of the carries going into that game?
No, I would not. I'd go with the hot hand, especially with the way Miami's running game is. It's so much about explosion and guys breaking off big runs. You don't have that churner, like a Frank Gore who's going to never lose yardage and gets you 4 yards every time. You don't have that. So you want guys that have fresh legs, that are explosive, that are eager, that can come in and run hard. And then if the defense isn't ready, pop that 60, 70-yard run, which Cam has done multiple times this year. Chaney and Knighton have not, but they're capable of. So I would keep rotating. Hot hand, if someone's not feeling 100%, maybe they're not part of the rotation, but assuming everybody's healthy, keep them going. I see no need to say this is the guy. because really there isn't a workhorse back in that group. Chaney might become that physically, but I don't think he's there yet. Cam, just not that type of back, really more a big play guy. And then Knighton, you know, 190 pounds. That's just how he is. He's a change of pace, very talented, explosive back, but not somebody that you want to just ride. So I don't see any reason why we'd ever ride someone to a, you know, like you might have used Clinton Portis back in 2001. I just don't see that on this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely makes the most sense, I think, to keep just keep going with the hot hand. Pretty interesting to see Robert Burns kind of holding his own. He's been able to garner a couple of carries in, you know, last couple of games. And especially at the end of the game, he's kind of seems like he's got that closer role in a way. Kind of after that defense worn down, they use him to get those tough yards at the end of the game, trying to close out the game when the defense and everyone in the stadium knows that they're going to run. So it's a little interesting to see that he's kind of built a little that role for himself in Miami's offense. It's good to get something out of him, a guy a lot of people wrote off with all those injury issues. I think, you know, another point I wanted to talk about in coming off of this bye week, and again, looking back to the UVA game, and I think there's something that Miami worked a lot on in that bye and something they want to correct heading into NC State was that those red zone offense issues that they had against UVA, because, you know, just watching the game, you know, I'm sure you would agree, Miami should have blown Virginia out. They're up by about over 150 yards of total offense going into that last Virginia scoring drive. Completely dominated the game in yardage, but just weren't able to actually punch it in when they got into that red zone area. And even when they were just outside of red zone, they had an issue with, you know, penalties and intentional grounding and sacks. And so they had a lot of really good drives and just were not able to really convert, you know, those drives into points. They settled for 3 field goal attempts on the 4 actual red zone trips. One of those were blocked. So that's just kind of how you saw Miami really dominate in yardage, but was not able to put up the points necessary to make it a comfortable game like it should have been. Overall, I like that how the offense has been playing, and I think they definitely improved last time we saw them against Virginia. Still, it's just you don't want to have a team like Virginia or even NC State this week hanging around at the end of the game, even though you've been dominating them. And you really hope it's a hiccup rather than a trend, because Miami has been pretty good at keeping a multiple score lead going into the fourth quarter, you know, before that UVA game.
Yeah, and really, if Chaney doesn't slip in the red zone on one of those runs where I thought he had a pretty clean alley watching the game live, Miami scores on that drive, touchdown, instead of getting a field goal, and I think it's a different game. Now, they didn't do it, so they don't get any credit for it. But I didn't see an offense that was broken last game. It could have been obviously a lot better. Miami was, in many respects, lucky to win that game when you look at some of the penalties and that they avoided. You know, big plays they avoided with penalties, or big plays that they made because of a pass interference or what have you. So lucky to win that game. Not a good performance overall, but you know, the offense was not broken. They put up yards. They got the passing game going. They did some nice things. They ran the ball a lot better in the second half. So, you know, I don't think it's, you know, it's not like you have zero momentum going into this game, but you got to play better. Red zone, as you mentioned, needs to improve. You don't know if Brevin Jordan is going to be available, or if he is, how available he's going to be. So that's something to watch. Is he going to play as much as the coaches have talked about him? Mallory, you know, is he going to be able to be that red zone threat? He's your best red zone threat. He scored 3 touchdowns. He's got the size. He's a great receiver. Can you really establish him as this is our guy that's going to, you know, score in the red zone? That's going to be interesting to see. And well, Virginia, one thing you didn't see were those really huge touchdown plays aside from the Harley catch. And that's something Miami's done. Even when the offense sputtered against Pittsburgh, you hit the 2 big plays. You know, to Cam and to Mallory, that put 7 points on the board as opposed to field goals like you saw in Virginia. So, you know, are you able to make those explosive plays in this game that end with 7 points? All things that are doable. You're not asking for a revolution week to week or coming off the bye. You just want to see a sharper performance, which if Miami plays with potential against this team with their back quarterback, should be a bigger spread. A 10-point spread, I think that's a good spread given the way Miami played against Virginia, the way Miami historically has played off bye weeks with Manny. But you want to exceed that spread. And to exceed that spread, it's not going to be done with field goals. It will need to be touchdowns. So I agree, both in the red zone and explosive touchdowns. You want to see at least 31, 32 points based on what North Carolina has put on tape defensively.
Absolutely. And I think just to clarify, Brevin is expected to play, but it's just, like you mentioned, not known if he might be limited in some capacity. That has not been clarified. So we'll just have to see once he gets onto the field, you know, how healthy he really is coming off that bye week. Missed two games, so he's had 3 weeks of rest. And so we're really at this halfway point in the season. And again, now, you know, perfect little time for that bye. And, you know, just projecting forward, Canes are 5-1 right now. In a pretty good spot, you know, in terms of where the ACC standings look. Their one loss is on the road to number one Clemson. So, Dean Money, you know, just trying to talk about what you see from the rest of the season, what you see out of this team, and where could this team go heading into this back half of the schedule?
Well, it's November, and November is the most important college football month in general. But for the Canes, after the past 15 years, November is critical. I mean, even if you go back to 2003, 17 years ago, you had the loss to Tennessee, Virginia Tech. I want to say both were in November. They were certainly later in the year. So it's just always been sort of that November collapse, North Carolina game, you know, just in 2004. These are all late October, November, just kind of the swoon time after a decent start. And, you know, Georgia Tech, 2005. And then, of course, every year since, it's just been a total collapse. The collapses have gotten worse and worse as the program's gotten worse. So can Miami avoid that this year and really signal that something is different? The only year I could think of where they avoided that was Rick's first year. We had a four-game losing streak and then a very strong finish where Kaya and the offense really started clicking. So that, to me, is what I'm curious to see is, can they make it through November playing good football, avoiding collapse, and specifically just the rhythm and physicality of the team, the timing. You know, are they going to look like a better football team in terms of blocking, consistent tackling, finishing on the pass rush, not just forcing quick throws, but improving that sack rate, which right now is lagging behind a normal Manny team? Are they just going to get a little sharper? I mean, they're not going to change their offense. They're not going to fundamentally change what they do on defense. It's going to be the same team. But can they just get a little sharper, you know, and show improvement in the way they execute, particularly just from a physicality standpoint? Again, we talked about run blocking so much, but to me, run blocking is the number one sign of a well-coached team, because you're talking about toughness. You're talking about, you know, strength and conditioning, especially this time of year. And you're talking about cohesion and timing, especially with a team that zone blocks so much like Miami does. If you're not on the same page, those inside zone, outside zone, which were another thing we might want to see more of in the second half of the season. But in general, if you're not on point with the man next to you, those plays are going to look like they've looked the past few weeks, which is very ineffective. So I want to see on top of just playing better and not having those demoralizing losses late in the year, I want to see just more sharpness, an improving team, a team that looks like it's been practicing well, a team that looks like it's shaken off some of that COVID rust or the rust of not having spring practice. If they really are improving and shaking off that rust, we'll see it right now. So that's what I want to see, just a sharper, better team at things that we're already doing.
I think that is a promising thing to look forward to. I think that it's setting up nicely for that to happen. I mean, again, now they're getting to that second half of the year, two bye weeks now. They've had time to adjust to new offensive coordinator Rhett Lashley's system, getting their feet under them. You really hope that wide receiver group is going to take this momentum and keep it going throughout the season, that last game against UVA. You really just hope that you can see them start to fire more on all cylinders. And I think this would be a great game to do that against NC State. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, D Money, thank you for coming on the show. That's about all the time we have for tonight on this edition of the Canes Insight Podcast. My man, I know we had to get you away from that election TV coverage. Definitely glad having you on.
Yeah, no, it was entertainment, really. but the real entertainment is going to be Friday. I don't stress too much about that stuff, but Friday I will be stressing, and we really need to deliver coming off that bye. If you're Manny Diaz, this is an incredibly important game for a variety of reasons. And the opponent's there is a tailor-made opponent. They have four wins. They're a decent team record-wise, probably one of the better teams you've played record wise. And they're vulnerable where you've been weak. So put up or shut up some doubters about the running game, shut up some doubters against the, about the bye week, and get it done. So that's what it's going to be all about Friday night.
Yeah, definitely true, man. I think any Canes game has had more impact on my life than any presidential election, just direct impact. So I'm right there with you. But again, man, thanks for coming on the show. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the Canes Insight podcast. You guys know what to do. I'm Stefan Adams, managing editor of Canes Insight, and we're out.